it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How you doing, Scrape? You all right? Relinquishing your title?
It's just amazing to me that Tony can't remember anything but pulls out every answer in the book.
Yeah, Tony's...
Both of our cameras are faced away, by the way.
Oh, Tony remembers to go down to interview Mike Schilt. He remembers everything, but... Yeah. No, Tony is very...
I'll say absent-minded.
That's
for
the
certain,
one I wanted.
For certain
for
things.
For certain things. That, and he would have to agree. He leaves it when we're in the studio in the off-season. He leaves his water bottle here more than he takes it home.
He has his name on it.
And he has his name
because
on his
he loses his it wife. So much.
His wife got tired of him losing the water bottle. Yeah, Tony, he will forget his phone in the car, like when he comes up to do the show.
I got to go down.
That's hard to do because we all, Tony, you, me, everyone out there, before you go anywhere now, you check your phone because you have to have it.
There's been a couple times on the Scravy Show where I see his keys are still here. And
yeah,
I'm like,
and you're like, oh, he'll be back
I'm like,
in a moment.
Waiting. Yeah. There he is.
There he is,
everybody.
He's coming back up the elevator.
But he can remember every single player that played fantasy football over the weekend.
He got them all.
Insane.
He got them all. All right, Tony's back on top of the Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Your turn now to play a little Chris versus the fans, 833-288-0973. I also have excellent news. Scraby informed me just moments ago that we have two more tickets to give away to tomorrow's Padre-Reds game. We gave two away yesterday. Going to go two more today. I'll just tell you right now, if I were you, I would study up a little Cincinnati Reds trivia. I just would, because that's likely to be where the question comes from today. Anyway, I'll have the question between now and the end of the show.
Yeah.
And
let me get a sticky.
You'll have to call. Yeah, I know. Remind us. But you'll have to call in. And good luck on that one. Chance to go to see the Padre Reds game tomorrow. Right now, Chris versus the fans. Looking forward to a good round of trivia. I think yesterday we had a first-time playa.
Yes.
Who cashed in the prize and got a chance to go see the Eagles, the music group.
Everybody keeps asking me, what is your favorite Eagles song? And I'm just going to say the same one, Hotel California.
That's the only one you know or you don't know?
It's the only one I really can say off the top of my head.
I would say In the City is my favorite, but that's more sometimes considered a Joe Walsh song, although it's on an Eagles album.
Okay.
You will be qualified for a chance to win the grand prize, a trip to see the Eagles at the Sphere, Las Vegas. Two tickets to the show January 30th, two-night stay at the Venetian, which is just down the street. Vibe VIP package. Not quite sure what that is, but it sounds pretty good. You get a $100 gas card also. That's what you get for the rest of you. Reminder, the Eagles have added shows to the band's residency at the Sphere in Las Vegas. In 2026, they'll be playing January 23, 24, 30, and 31. The residency now features a total of 48 shows. The Eagles started at the Sphere last September, and it now runs through January 31st, 2026. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Said this yesterday, the Eagles is a big draw, but so is the Sphere itself. So good luck in Chris versus the fans today.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Here are the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you will get that question for free today. I am having some troubles with the phones.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to see how this goes. And I'm hoping that they work. And I'm not going to
freak out.
That's
kind of out of your, that's out of your, you know, your pay range.
Yeah, I'm not going to freak out.
The phones work or they don't.
Not going to freak out.
All right, let's see what it
is. Yeah, our first contestant.
Not going to change things.
You're right.
Okay.
Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Are you there?
Hello.
Oh, he's there.
See, the phones.
Hello, Robert.
Oh, you're so happy.
Are you happy you're there, Robert? Are you ready to play, Robert?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's go.
Here we go. First question. Let's see. What team did the Aztecs football team face Saturday night? Did I already ask that yesterday?
No.
Washington State.
Yeah. Washington State is correct.
By the way,
yeah,
bad game, bad loss. Cal is next. And there's a lot of talk right now. And I don't, you know, I don't begrudge people. There's a lot of talk right now about, you know, Aztecs football and whether people are going to ever get into it again, you know, and get excited and, you know, start putting some people in the stands and whether Sean Lewis will win some games. I don't have a solution for Sean Lewis winning games. That's him. He's the coach. They're the team. They have to do that. But I do have the answer that is going to save Aztec football in terms of filling up the stands.
420.
I will give it to you after this game.
Okay.
Stick around for it because I'm telling you it's a hell of an idea. But back to the game.
I can't wait for this idea now. All right, Robert, back to the game.
Call anybody you know at San Diego State who works there and tell them Chris has got the idea that's going to save everything.
We'll see.
Free tickets.
Cool question number.
Not quite, because that would be really silly.
All right, question number two.
All right, here we go, Robert. Robert's trying to steal my thunder there.
Let's see here. Let's go with this one. Who leads the Cincinnati Reds in home runs this year?
Oh, fair question. I don't know that they have a big slugger on that club.
Big bumper?
Yeah, they have a lot of consistent...
De La Cruz?
Oh, my God.
De La Cruz? Correct!
He got it!
Yes.
Interesting. I wouldn't have got that. I don't know who I would have guessed, but...
He's in the lead by one. I believe Spencer Steer is
right
the
him?
Second one. But okay. Ellie De La Cruz...
How many homers does he have?
19.
So they don't have a 20-home run hitter on the roster?
They do not. And... He hasn't hit a home run, I believe, since like July 28th.
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up because you know what you just put that on me. You know darn
Mister,
well,
Mister. The Rockies aren't even going to score a run this week.
That
and then...
was 3 weeks. That was three seasons ago.
And then
you're still on me for that.
Well, I didn't think that I would get crushed for that. All right.
If Ellie De La Cruz homers tonight, they're all going to be.
Yeah,
mad at you,
I would agree with that. If he hasn't homered since July,
yeah, 19 for him, 17 for Steer. Third place, Austin Hayes, 15. He hit one last night.
All right,
Robert goes for the win right here.
Yep. Question number three.
I wonder if the Reds are the only team that doesn't have a 20-home run hitter. Just throwing that out there.
That's a great question. What former Padre has struck out the most times in all of baseball this season? What former Padre has struck out the most times in all of baseball so far this season?
Good question.
Double dare.
Double dare, he says, which I believe is pass?
Yes.
Okay, he's going to pass. Chris, what former Padre has struck out the most times so far this season?
I have what I think is an intelligent guess, but ultimately the only real intelligent guess would be the correct answer.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that this is the correct answer, but this guy's played a lot this year. And he always strikes out a lot. Whether he leads all of baseball or not, I'm not sure. There's a lot of Padres, ex-Padres out there.
Yes.
I'm delaying because I'm hoping to think of a better
answer. We need an answer.
Trent Grisham.
Trent! He's having a great year. I think he's like 30 home runs on the season.
I know. No!
Wow!
He's not the answer. Robert, you're winning it.
Stay there, Robert. Wow, first caller today.
I know. Who's the ex-Padre?
You're going to love this for a couple reasons.
Okay.
Number one, because when this team came to town, all we did was hear about how A.J. Preller messed up this trade.
Wow.
James Wood has the most strikeouts in baseball so far
this season. All right. That's a good one. I wonder where Grisham is. I bet he's on the list. Grisham might be close because Trent does strike out a lot, right?
He does, but he's also hitting home runs
more. No, he's having a great year. That wasn't to deter his year.
Let me see. Where's Trent? So it's James Wood with 195 and then Riley Green of the Tigers, but Grisham is not in the...
Not in the hunt, huh?
I'm not seeing him even on the top page.
Good for Trent. Well, maybe he's obviously making more contact this year. So
now I got to go find him because he's not even on the first page.
Trent Grisham was a strikeout machine when he was here. Was he not?
He was.
I mean, honestly, when he hit a ground ball to second base, it was cause for celebration.
He actually is 73rd in baseball.
Good for him.
With strikeouts, 114.
Trent Grisham. Baltimore Orioles. I just found another team that does not have a 20 home run hitter. All right, Robert, good for you. You'll qualify for the chance to win the trip to Las Vegas there. So stay on the line. Scraby will handle your situation. And we'll play another round of Chris versus the fans tomorrow. Don't forget, we still have to give away today a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's it is tomorrow night, right? 5:40 start.
5:40, yeah.
An hour earlier. Tomorrow night's game, 5:40. So we have two tickets to do that. And when we come back.
Oh, my gosh. I'm getting heat because James Wood was never really a Padre. He was.
I'm going to give you this one.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to give you this one, but you're right. The
Padres had to have traded him in
letter
their organization.
Letter of the law, he was not a Padre. You know, the more I think about it, fans are right, you're wrong again. Another terrible question.
That is not a terrible question. If you say he's not a Padre, then that's like saying...
He's not a former Padre, officially. That's true.
Okay, next time I'll add the word Padres organization.
Well, then I
would have
probably
got
it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That would have given it away. Robert, I'm going to have Scraby have to explain to you now why he has to take away your prize because his question was terrible. No, stay on the line. When we come back, though, this is it. Call all your friends at San Diego State. Call anybody who works there. I think, the idea that they need. And I think it's going to help. Give a boost to the ticket sales and the crowd.
Got Are you going to do stand-up comedy?
We got to find some magic. Yeah. I've learned magic on the side.
Yes, that's true.
No, we got to look. The team is the team. I get it. But it is what we have. So we have to do our best with what we have right now. And I just really wish there was some more enthusiasm for Aztec football. Aztec for life. So I'm going to do my best to help after traffic.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Chris Ello, Scraby, Odyssey Palace Studios, Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco, back for the Big Five, which comes up at the bottom of this hour. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, Padres and Reds, Sam Levitt, pregame 5:40. Luis Arraez on the bench to start the game today. Ryan O'Hearn will be batting second, playing first base. Otherwise, a lineup pretty similar to one they had last night. Michael King returning to the mound. Those are kind of the storylines for tonight's ball game. Padres begin play a game back of the Dodgers in the NL West. Remind me to say an Emmett Sheehan thing that bugs me.
Was it him in the ball?
Yeah. I got to talk about that, but I don't have time right now because I promised the Aztec
Put
thing.
Put it on our list.
If I do the Emmett Sheehan thing, then I'll forget to tell the Aztec.
All right.
But Sheehan's pitching tonight for the Dodgers, and I got to talk about what he may or may not have done. Here's the thing with the Aztecs, and I just want, if anybody at San Diego State, because I went there, I do the Aztec women's basketball game. I really want great things for San Diego State. And I'll unabashedly admit to being just a lover of San Diego State and everything about their teams, and I root for them, and everybody knows that. Okay? The football program, I will continue to always support and root for those guys. And I remind you, and I have, that 10 years in a row, they had really good football teams. 10 or 11 years in a row. Rocky Long, Brady Hoke, they won. They went to bowl games every year. They won the conference title 2 years in a row. They produced Rashad Penny and DJ Pumphrey. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Kaiava Tizino, remember that guy?
Who?
The linebacker, Kaiava Tizino.
Oh, yeah, Tizino.
He was really good.
He was so great, but he never made the NFL.
On.
I never understood that. I never understood that because he was a great player. You're right. Anyway, so it's only been a couple of years removed. You know, Brady Hoke had the 1 year at the end. Not great. Last year, Sean Lewis. You know, not great. But you have to give Sean Lewis some time, and I'm still willing to do that. Last week, though, bad loss. Straight up. They went to Washington State. They played well for about a half a quarter, and then they got run off the field. And Washington State's not a great team. We know this because the week before, they barely beat Idaho out of the football FCS or something. So
FCS, yeah. Or BS. Right.
So the Aztecs really didn't look good, and I know people are going, here we go again. The team's going to be bad again. There's no improvement. There's this and that. First of all, way too early. You don't know. There's 10 games to go in the season.
I literally got a text from my uncle who is an Aztec alum who lives in the Bay Area now. Why is the football team so bad?
Right. It's kind of the thing right now. And beyond that, what's even worse, Graby, is that people are starting not to, you know, like not care.
They're losing the momentum they built.
Whatever momentum they had, they're kind of losing. They had the whole new stadium and everybody excited. People seem more down on the stadium than they are excited about the stadium. People certainly seem down about the team, the whole program. I've heard the whole complaint. The ticket prices are too much. I can't do anything about that. Not my thing. Nobody asked my opinion, and I'm not going to change. You know, I'm not going to go there. But we're golfing today, and a couple of the guys I'm talking to bring up something, an idea. And I thought, now, first of all, I want everybody to know, this is a stolen idea. It's an idea that has been done in this city before, and I think it worked, and I think the Aztecs football team ought to consider it, and I think that they can create a little hype, a little excitement, a little, hey, let's go out and do this all together. Because fans are not, you know, they're not into this team. And we got to do something. And I know it's like, okay, let's sit back and if we win 10 games, everybody will come to the games. Yeah, but I don't have time to wait. And plus, I don't know that they're going to win their next 10 games.
That's true.
So here's something I think would be a good idea. And think it through. And understand that it's a stolen idea. Because it's been done in this town. But the more I thought about it, I liked it. I think the Aztecs come out big time. Sean Lewis comes out, not arrogant, but comes out. We get it out publicly. Kirk Kenny posted in the paper. Next game against Cal next week, we are guaranteeing a victory. Guaranteeing a win. This team is better this year. We're going to go out. We're going to prove it. Here's how you back up the guarantee. You do it by doing something that the Padres did about a decade ago. I don't know if you remember this at all, Scraby, but it was brought back to my attention. The Padres, when they were terrible in the 90s, had a season, maybe two, where they started doing guaranteed win games. Do you remember this?
I don't.
Okay.
It sounds pretty dangerous to guarantee wins.
Here's what the Padres did.
Oh, I have heard of this.
If we don't win the game, you get to come back the next night. That was the guarantee. The Padres said, come to our game. We guarantee we're going to win. If we don't, you get to come back either for a cheaper price or whatever it was the next night. I'll tell you one thing. A lot of people started going to those games. It was pretty fun. was like, hey, this is all right. I'm rooting for us, but if we don't win, cool. I get to come back tomorrow. I think the Aztecs ought to borrow a page from this playbook. I'm trying to think of all of the things that come into play here. You can't discount tickets. You can't give away tickets because there's people that have already bought tickets that are your season ticket holders. You have to take care of these people. You can't just say to a family, hey, here, I'm glad you bought season tickets, but I'm going to sell the ticket next to you for $5. Everybody says they got to do discount. They got to give tickets away. They got to paper the house. That never works. But I think a guaranteed win night would get everybody excited for the Cal game. I think it'd get a lot of people to go to the Cal game under that pretense. And what you tell the fans is, if we don't win, you can come in to another game, any one of your choice, the rest of the season for $5. Now, you work out the details, but that you see what my idea is doing here?
I do.
I think, give me your butts.
No, go ahead.
Well, let me finish, and then you give me your butts. Yeah. To me, first, you're getting people excited for the Cal game itself. I think it gives people a reason to come out, kind of on a fun pretense. I'm coming out because it's a guaranteed win. I'm going to get into it. And then if they do lose, you're going to sell a bunch of tickets to your games down the road here the rest of the season because people are going to take home that coupon and say, hey, you know, I can go to another game. Whoa, hey, $5, I'm back. And I think that what you do with the season ticket holders is you give them a coupon as well. So that if the guarantee happens, they have coupons to give to their friends later in the season to come with them for $5. I think it kills two birds with one stone. It might help you get a little attendance, but I think more than anything, it's a little excitement, a little something fun. We're not building the excitement with the actual team, with the actual coach, unfortunately, with the actual results, with the stadium even. There you go.
I think it's something different and that hasn't been done in a little bit. I just, everything comes back to money and they would lose money.
Where are they going to lose the money?
Because they're not going to beat Cal, in my opinion.
Okay. So now you have a way to get a bunch of people to come back who would never come to another game.
But are you making money? Is it worth it for you to make those $5 tickets?
You like, work out the details.
Whether you need to be
$7, you need to $9, whatever it is, a real. And because the thing with discounted tickets, you can't just give them away. But I think if everybody goes to the Cal game and, in a sense, earns discount tickets, then we're all in the same boat. I have to look out for the season ticket holders, so I have to give them the coupon to get the cheaper tickets later in the season if I lose. But you know what? How about I go out and win the game? Now, I'm really on to something. People haven't got their free tickets, but they just saw a great game and a win over a great Cal team. I don't see a lot of reason. I know you can pick this apart if you're a marketing genius. I know somebody can say there's got this problem and that problem and the other one. I get it. That's for you all to figure out. I'm just trying to give you something that is a little different that I'm not seeing a major problem with.
I can see.
I get what you're saying. You don't want to give $5 tickets. So make it more. But whatever it is, something that gets everyone excited for this Cal game, and we say, hey, you know what? We are better. We're going to show it. We're going to prove it to you.
I think that is a good way to build some momentum towards Cal because you know how you get people's attention? You tell them they're getting something at a discount or free, and people will pay attention.
But
people
they're not guaranteed to get it. They only get it if they lose. You're going out there and saying, we're going to guarantee the win. I think a lot of people will buy a ticket just to take the shot. See what happens.
I think that
the Padres
that's
did
a slippery
this.
Slope.
Maybe. But what have they got to lose right now, Scrappy? Things are not going well. You get that. You know that.
I know
it. I don't want to admit it. The fans, the excitement at Snapdragon is not there. I want it to be there. These kids work their butts off. They practice every day in the sun all summer. You know what I mean? They deserve our support. And I even mean that win or lose. These are college kids. They're out there playing their butts off and tails off and working hard. And I wish that we supported our team better. But we don't.
I agree with that. I mean, they deserve to be supported better, but they also have to play better.
Okay.
But I think that your idea is actually an idea that's trying to accomplish something, and there is a path to your idea.
I think there's a path to my idea. I don't know that I have all of the answers.
No,
yet.
The details need to be ironed out. But for the most part, I think people, I think you would probably get some more people buying tickets for this Cal game for sure.
Would you not get maybe even a little attention around the nation?
Maybe not the nation, but for sure San Diego.
Somewhere, you know, this gets out social media. That kind of thing. Hey, San Diego State's guaranteeing victory. This is not a thing against Cal
either.
See,
I think
this
that is the problem.
Is it?
Because if you guarantee victory and then you lose 55-0.
Perfect. And then everyone writes about it and everybody says,
everybody
wow.
Everybody writes now about how bad your team is?
You got to risk something, Scrape. Do you believe in this coach or not? Do you believe in this team?
I'm not sure yet.
Well, I don't, but they do. They say they do. He says, be patient. The team says, JD and everybody says, hey, we got the right guy.
I believe that they are on the right track by at least allowing him to try and build a program.
Fair enough, but it's going too slow for me. Not the wins. The excitement, the enthusiasm,
the
fervor surrounding Aztec football.
It's not there anymore.
Not there.
It's not there anymore. But you're at least
I'm trying to help.
At least thinking.
I'm not trying to put anyone down here. I'm trying to honestly help. Now, give me some of your thoughts on the chat. Whatever you got. See where you think there's a problem. Maybe we can iron it out. More Gwen and Chris coming up. All right, we'll talk more about that Aztec thing in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now, traffic and Scraby's Big Five takes precedence over everything else.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Well, we had a pretty good Monday Night Football game last night, a really good Padres game last night. But in this Big Five, we're going to talk about a lot of football. Jalen Carter's not suspension. His punishment has been handed down. I'm going to ask you guys if you think it's enough. Tyreek's in the news, so we're going to talk about that. But let's talk about the Padres first.
Number five.
Michael King is back on the bump tonight and will be pitching for the first time since he did against the Red Sox last month. So, Tony, we know it's going to be a ramp-up process, but what are you looking for in Michael King's outing tonight?
Him to be healthy when it's all said and done. I think that's really the only fair thing to expect. He hasn't pitched since what? He had the one start coming off the IL. Outside of that, well, May was the previous time.
He's got two innings since May 18th.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know that it's fair to have, like, oh, I want to see him go out here and put up six innings of shutout baseball.
No hitter.
I don't know. I don't know that that is a fair. So I know that he's certainly going to take the mound with an effort to do so, but realistically, I just want to see him get through this this start healthy. If he gives me four plus, I would be happy.
All right. He last pitched August 9th against the Red Sox. Chris, what are you looking for in Michael King's outing tonight?
It really doesn't even matter what I'm looking for. I don't think it's even realistic to expect him to go more than four innings, unless those four innings are just, you know, 8-9 pitches each. When you think about it, May 18th, June, July, August, September. 4 months, he's pitched two innings. That's almost like an off season. I mean, you know, from the October to February when you show up for spring training, that's about the same amount of time. So I don't think, you know, four innings is maximum. But, you know, to me, one time through the lineup, see how we do, you know, in the fourth inning and see where the pitch count is. Yes, but walk off the mound, feel good about it, have a little command back, a little feel, and keep your team in the game. I mean, it's still an important game tonight, as they all are. Just keep your team close, as Darvish did last night. I think most people are going to say, well, that wasn't a good game for Darvish.
Yeah,
any
right.
game that you leave the field where the Padres still have a chance is a good start. And that was shown, right?
Mike Schilt said that.
Yeah, stay in the game. So, yeah, give me four innings, stay in the game, and feel good tomorrow morning.
All right. Number four. All right, it's not a little serious. It is a serious topic we're about to talk about. Tyreek Hill's estranged wife, Keita Vaccaro, has accused the Dolphins receiver of 8 domestic violence incidents and divorce filings, which Hill does deny pretty vehemently, calling the claims a quote-unquote shakedown and an attempt to generate bad media coverage. The first alleged incident occurred in January of 2024. He has not, Tyreek has not been criminally charged with anything, and it's unclear if law enforcement is investigating, but this is out here. TMZ is reporting it. Chris, you're up first. Do you think the NFL is close to moving on from Tyreek Hill?
The NFL is close to moving on.
Because I was going
to
say the Dolphins, yeah, probably they're close, but another team will take him, maybe.
Oh, for sure somebody will take him, and I think the Dolphins are going to have to stand behind him right now, and I think they should stand behind him right now. We have absolutely no proof of any kind that I know of. Now, were there photos published of her with the black eye? You know, I haven't seen anything to indicate that what she's saying is true. I obviously don't know whether it's, you know, it is true. Maybe it is. I'm always a little quizzical. This isn't fair, but because I'm making a blanket statement. But women who claim 8 different occurrences of domestic violence, I always wonder why they came back the 7th time and the 6th time. If that was happening, why were you not getting out of there sooner?
It's not easy.
Guaranteed. And that's a very good answer to it. But it still is a red flag to me. Tyreek Hill is a lot of things. I don't have any idea in this particular instance. It does right now sound a lot like it's negative publicity. I think it needs to be looked into. I think the Dolphins need to stand behind him until further notice. I hope that they will. And just one more thing for the Dolphins. If there's anybody in the Miami Dolphin front office who could craft a letter to Roger Goodell right now and ask to just go ahead and put this season away and we'll come back next year.
Chris, you've already given up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. And things like this are just, you know, adding to the pile of agony that this franchise faces right now. You know, we'll come back next year, play a good solid schedule next year. But, yeah, this is the last thing they need. But you have to stick behind him right now. There's no proof of otherwise.
Tony, do you think the NFL is close to moving on from Tyreek Hill?
No, not even close. Not even remotely close to moving on from him. I agree with Chris that right now this is in the middle of a divorce proceeding.
Yes,
and these get extremely nasty, and you know, in some ways, you know, both sides end up telling lies on one another to try to strengthen whatever case they're trying to make. So I say all that to say, let's wait and see if this actually turns out to be true. I, like Chris, the 8 incidents with no police reports or any of that stuff to go along with it, you know, it raises some red flags. Because, you know, I think in today's day and age especially, we already knew that he was caught up at the one domestic violence incident early. We heard about that one.
Right. So why didn't we hear about it? That's a good point, Tony. I mean, I said that. Yeah. You would think that she should file. Okay, she can't get out of the relationship, but you can say something somewhere.
Well, she's already happened at one point. I don't know whether she was the one who reported it or neighbors were the one that actually reported. Either way, let's just wait and see if this turns out to be true. I don't know that the NFL will move on from him, but I'm certainly sure everyone else will.
I think I understand what you guys are saying, but the reason she may have not gone to police is because it would have, you know, created a whole bunch of... She may have gotten her kids taken away from herself.
I think the point isn't why she didn't go. Yes. It's just that there is there is questions on whatever it is that didn't happen, did or didn't happen. We don't know. I think that's ultimately what it is. Nobody. I don't think we're trying to pry into the reasons why, and you know, we don't know enough about any of it to make a judgment one way or another.
That is true. All right, let's go to Tom Brady in a number three. You guys seen this thing? I didn't know that Kevin Hart had this.
He's been doing this for a while.
Balls is what the podcast is called, and it's they sit in cold tubs and they talk during the podcast. And so Tom Brady was on his 100th episode, and again, you're going to hear me cutting through this video clip because in the middle of Tom's answer, Kevin Hart had to be forced into the cold tub because he was too cold. So that's why the editing maybe a little choppy, but Kevin Hart asked him about today's quarterbacks and today's quarterback play and what he thinks about the 2025 NFL quarterback.
So you feel like the generation today is
I think there's a lot of opportunity for them to succeed, and at the same time there's challenges because there's a lot more distractions. Everyone is coddled a little bit more.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed to saying, hey, you better come in and get the work done.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, hey, you know, you probably should do this.
Yeah.
The guys that are really going to have the great work ethic, they're going to really be able to succeed.
He went on to say that Patrick Mahomes is someone that he thinks is most like him because he does the extra stuff to get to the top and all that stuff. But my question for you, Tony, is today's quarterback soft?
I don't know. Define soft. I mean, I think more importantly, the NFL has changed the rules, so they don't have to deal with some of the same stuff Tom did. Tom got to experience it like at the very end of his career, but the quarterbacks are just a product of what the rules are in today's game. You know, I don't know that. I'm not prepared to sit here and say that if you stuck them in the olden days. In the early night, in the late 1900s,
before the turn of the century, the late 1900s,
not even leather helmets.
Yeah, he says like that, like we were riding ponies to the games back then.
That's how my kids say it to me. So yeah, I'm just kind of passing it along.
All right.
Talking about like the 80s?
And no, then, he's talking about the 1997. Like that's ancient times.
Wait, your children call it the late 1900s?
He's calling it the ancient times.
That is crazy. That makes me feel very old.
But you know, I'm not prepared to say that if you drop those guys in that league, that they wouldn't be the same players they are now. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that Patrick Mahomes wouldn't have the same success. Yes, he might have had to take some lumps with going towards that sideline the way that he goes out there now. He might have been smashed, and he might have had to deal a few concussions. But guess what? We wouldn't have known, because in 1997, we weren't looking at concussions like that. So I'm not prepared to say that they couldn't do it. I just think they are a byproduct of what the rules have done, how they've changed, the offenses that have been created. I don't necessarily think they're soft.
It's evolution. Evolution.
Yes.
Chris, what do you think? Is today's quarterback soft?
I don't think so. I think a hit that, you know, somebody like J.J. McCarthy might have taken last night, might have compared to a hit that Johnny Unitas took from Deacon Jones back in the day. As good as Deacon Jones was, he probably wasn't bringing as much force as being brought now against J.J. McCarthy on a legal hit. So even though they're protected, I think these guys still take some pretty good shots.
I saw Dak take one on the opening night.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think physically. I think they're stronger, probably physically. They're in better shape than they ever were. But
faster.
I think the biggest difference is mentally and what they have to know and what they have to understand and what they have to catalog in comparison. You know, Johnny Unitas, Bob Greasy, those guys, they called their own plays.
Can you believe that?
They came, they went to the huddle and called the play, and then they ran that play. That's it. There was no, you know, they didn't even look to the sideline.
The annexation of Puerto Rico. Name that movie, guys. Name that movie.
Replacements?
The Little Giants.
Little Giants. Anyway, I don't know what that had to do with anything I'm talking about.
Well, you said
about.
They were calling their own play, so they called the annexation of Puerto Rico. Anyway,
crazy. Your mind is wild.
Yeah, it's
man.
A little whack. But I think these quarterbacks are greater than they've ever been before is my general feeling, and soft is not a fair connotation.
All right.
Number two.
The Denver Broncos have announced plans to potentially build a retractable roof stadium to replace the current 25-year-old Empower Field by 2031. There's something a little bit different about this, though. If the Broncos go through with construction as is expected, there will be zero public funding for the stadium and surrounding neighborhood. There will be no new taxes. The Broncos' primary owners, Greg and Carrie Penner, are privately funding the stadium, the land, and the surrounding development, and all construction costs. They haven't officially said it's going to happen, but they have spent a ton of money on preparation for this, so most think that it is going to happen. Chris, do you think this is going to be developed using no taxpayer funds?
I don't. Somebody's going to pay somewhere. I don't know how, but somebody's going to pay somewhere. That said, the owners of the Broncos have more money than anyone I think on earth. I think they're Walmart people.
They are.
And so they have the money to do this.
Or is that the old crew?
But my bottom line is either they're going to get somebody to pay or they're getting the city to give them land for, you know, pennies on the dollar. Somewhere, somehow, they're getting something. They're not going to do all of this out of the goodness of their own heart.
Yeah, chairman of Walmart.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't, to answer your question, no. But I've been thinking about this for a while because my in-laws are from Denver, and they've been talking about this happening. And I think it's going to happen. Denver is a great, you know, sports city. And the one thing they can't do is host a Super Bowl there because of the weather. I know they did it in New York the one time. They want to be in the Super Bowl list, and they want Final Four. They want all that stuff in Denver, and this will give them the ability to do it. Not only that, some, you know, winter concerts.
Yep.
They have the money to pull it off. It is pretty crazy when you think about here, we can't even build a new Shake Shack in San Diego.
Did not expect Shake Shack.
Right? And they're building a new stadium. 25 years. The other one's hardly even old.
We'll talk to Atlanta. You know? Their stadium's already getting old. Well, they get a new stadium every 10 years.
You know, these are what's going on elsewhere.
Tony, do you think that the Broncos' new stadium is going to be developed without taxpayer funds?
I hope so. I'm gonna say that I think it will. Here's the thing. I don't know that this is being done out of the kindness of their heart, though, even if they do pay for all of it. And here's why. I'm sure they are going to develop that land so that there are all types of goodies in there that everybody wants to go to.
Yeah.
This is kind of the new wave of stadiums being built. So, yes, they very well could be paying for all of this themselves. But that also means they will collect all of the profits when this bad boy is done and built up and everybody wants to go to it.
What is their last name again?
Did you say? Penner.
Penner?
Yeah.
I think they're going to change after this is all done. They'll change the name of Denver to Pennerberg. Because they'll be getting all the money from everybody.
I think that's... This is what this is how you can start to kind of separate the extremely wealthy owners from just the regular owners, right? Is if they can fund their own stadium. This isn't the first time we've heard this. I think Kroenke did it up in LA.
I was
LA,
just
right?
looking that up. He did not. You're right. He did not
use
taxpayer
money. I'm pretty sure
he
funded that himself. I'm pretty sure Ballmer funded that whole arena by himself. These are the extraordinarily wealthy owners. And we all wish, I think, that that was the case across the board, that they all had that kind of money. But the reality is there's about a handful, maybe less, in each sport that have that kind of loot. And, you know, it's just that is the most, like, clean-cut, no-strings-attached way to get a stadium done that we just aren't going to see all the time.
Yeah, but they're going to get everybody's money in the end.
Yeah,
one way or the other.
I mean, if they pay for it, I have no problem with them taking profits.
I mean, listen,
on it.
I think that's the idea, right? Is that the if you're a wealthy owner, you can do exactly what they're doing. Buy this spot, pay for it yourself, upgrade this, because they'll give, let's be fair about it, right? If it goes well, it only enhances the city, and it can make an area that is, you know, kind of on the downturn, turn it in the right direction. And so kind of just saw that in Minnesota here recently. They, you know, that area where they built Target Center and Target Stadium, you know, talking to the people out there, has gotten better while those two facilities have been there.
It worked here in San Diego for the East Village, but evidently not enough to build another. Why do I have to always keep going?
Yeah,
here?
I don't know. Because you gotta let it go. I can't let it go.
The leaders of this community are terrible.
Go ahead.
Move on.
But we have Snapdragon.
Hit number one.
We have Snapdragon.
Hit number
Chris?
One before I comment on that. One.
We have the punishment for Eagles defensive tackle Jalen Carter, who hopped to it on Dak Prescott last
and somebody
week.
Somebody saw a meme of the hot Tua girl spitting on Dak.
There is a lot of those out there right now. And so he was fined $57,222 and suspended one game for spitting on Cowboys quarterback Dak
suspended
Prescott.
Suspended one game, yes. But already served.
This fine equals his weekly earnings, and he's not going to appeal. While Carter calls his actions a mistake, he says this was a response to what Dak Prescott did. Yeah. Blah, 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 good blah, luck. Blah. Who's up? Tony, does the punishment fit the crime? Let me look for an update on this, too.
Initially, I couldn't find the update either, by the way. Initially, I thought, no, it's not enough. But I thought about it a little bit. As you know, sometimes being that I'm in baseball season, I think of seasons being that kind of way a lot of times. Football is a heck of a lot shorter. And I think the idea would be that I would like to have seen him suspended a game. I think that would have been, in my mind, the right way to go. And then after you kind of brought it up, Scraby, did he play one snap in that game?
Zero.
He played no snaps.
It was literally the play after the kickoff, the opening kickoff of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the punishment does fit the crime in this one. I think if he had played that game, I would have expected a suspension and a fine. That's would have been my kind of end goal for it. So I think it actually does end up working out. They took all his money for this week, I think. You know, he's making enough where he gonna feel that, or he gonna see it one way or another.
Or his girlfriend or wife is going to.
Yeah, well, I get the feeling Jalen is not with a significant other at this point, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know that, but Adam Schefter is saying that the. See, I don't get this. The game that he was ejected counts as his one-game suspension.
Right.
That
well,
should not count as your one-game suspension. That is, you were ejected in that game. You have to pay the price for the second game.
I bet you it very rarely on the spitting incidents where they've had to eject, it's happened before that person has ever taken a snap. I bet you it's happened mid-game.
Yeah,
when the game
I don't think it's
not,
ever happened totally. Like this. Not too many guys run out on the field and spit on somebody before they play.
Not even Bill Romanowski.
But you know what? Jalen is a special, you know, case, right? And he's capable of anything.
Chris?
I'm going to agree with Tony. I want to throw, you know, lock him up and throw away the key. But in baseball terms, one game is about 9.5 baseball games, if you percentage it out. That's a long suspension. If somebody in baseball got a 10-game, that's pretty significant.
Victor Robles did.
Yes, one game I think is significant enough. Now, if he does anything even, you know, the wrong way, then you have to start, you know, waking this guy up.
All right. That's it for the Big Five. Thank you, guys. We're going to get you set on the other side for tonight's game. Game two between the Reds and the Padres. Michael King making his triumphant return. Can you say that?
Well, it'll be triumphant if he does well.
That's true. That's true.
Right.
He'll be making his return to the mound tonight. We'll talk about that when we get back here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.